If you would bow your head with me as we invite Jesus to be here. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your wonderful love. There's not a person here, dear God, that does not love you. When we try and put our words and our feelings together, they fail us. We realize that you are indeed our all in all. And without you, we could do nothing. I pray that you will be with us this morning because we come in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Would you take your Bible and turn to Romans 5? This is not what I plan on preaching to you, but in light of our discussion this morning, I wanted to share this. Romans chapter 5. I majored in college in Romans, and it's been my favorite book for 30 years. In fact, I memorized a lot of it in Greek, so I really wanted to get a handle of Romans. And by the way, the more you memorize in Greek, the less you remember. I want to begin by asking you a question. Can you, in your mind, remember a time when your life changed forever? How many of you can? You know the moment that your life changed forever. And as you look back, you realize that that is the moment that Jesus Christ touched your life. And, you know, when you think about Revelation chapter 14, the great mandate of the Seventh-day Adventist Church is to preach the everlasting gospel to every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. Those are the words of Christ. So our mandate is clear. And yet, may I say this in kindness to you? Probably, that's the most mixed up concept in the Adventist Church today. Righteousness by faith. And we love each other. Raise your hand if you agree with that. I may say something you do not agree with. That does not mean you can't love me and that I cannot love you. Because we are all different, and your experience is not my experience, and mine, therefore, is not yours. So we may see the same thing, same picture, and come away with a whole different interpretation for many reasons. Your experiences in life, all of those things. Remember I used the word shape, S-H-A-P-E, your spiritual gifts, your passion, your heart, your abilities, your personalities, and your experiences in life shape you to be who you are. This didn't just happen. God shaped you to be who you are. So therefore, when I preach a text to you or I share the word of God to you, you might very well understand it entirely different than the way I read it because of your experience. And some of us, in the back of our minds, say to ourselves, I know this is true, and because I know it's true, nobody is going to change my mind. So what happens if you hear something you do not like? What do? You file it in one way and it comes out another. You just say, well, I don't agree. And that's why a Mormon friend of mine was right. He said to me one day, you Seventh-day Adventists are unique, you know. I said, we are unique. And he said, the very problem with Adventists is they are inflexible. And he said, no two of them believe the same thing. I said, how many Adventists have you visited? Well, he said, I lived on a block and there were nothing but Adventists, so I got a chance to get to know some. And he said, this brother here doesn't agree with this brother over here, and this brother here, he doesn't agree with this one either. So none of them agree the same way. And I said, well, I'm sure you can find that in Mormonism, could you not? Well, yes. Well, anyway, his point was well taken. We are uniquely different. I will never be exactly like you. You will not be exactly like me. But I love you. I love you for being who you are. Let's let the Bible talk to us today. Don't come to this with a preconceived idea. I did for 15 years until the gospel finally shook my foundation. And I have to live every day by Jesus Christ alone. I have to. I have to. Romans 5. Take your Bible and turn. And it is a sermonette. I did not plan on preaching this, do you? So whatever the Holy Spirit intended, it is His moment, not mine. It is God's moment. And the Holy Spirit this morning, when I asked Him, sitting over there, what should I preach? He spoke to me in my ear and said, well, you're not going to preach what you were preaching. Well, I put a lot of work in that. Well, that's tough. You can preach it some other time. That's true. Do you know I listen to God like that? How many of you listen to God like that? Sure you do. So what you're hearing is not Rocky Gale. I hope you got that. You remember what I said last week? Paul says they heard the word of God as though it came from God, and thanks be to God because they heard it. Even though it came from the lips of men, it was from God. Okay, here it is. therefore, having been justified by faith. In other words, it's a past tense deal. I do not have to worry about my life. God covers my life. Through the Lord Jesus Christ. Through whom? Now he's talking about Jesus. We have access. And that word is drawn from the sanctuary. We have access by faith into his grace. Well, where is he? He's not on the cross. He's in the heavenly sanctuary. Say amen. Amen. That's where he is. And I have access. I have access. Hebrews 6:19. Within the veil, Jesus has entered in my behalf. He didn't go because he needed to. He went because I needed it. Behind the veil. And he says, by faith, we have access into this grace. Oh, thanks be to God. We have access into this grace. Thanks be to God. This grace is so great. What do you think of that? Is grace great? Oh, my. Let me tell you. I've been in the church my whole life. Well, Dad took me for a while, and I didn't believe a thing he said because he was a nasty old man, I thought. And he believed if you boys didn't shape up, you're going to hell. And I didn't want to burn in hell, so I listened a little bit. That's what he said. But do you know what I've learned? I want you to listen to me. You can disagree with this. I love you whether you agree or disagree. I have never yet met a perfect Seventh-day Adventist. And I've met them 98 years old. No, they don't drink. No, they don't rob. No. But there's a lot more to this than that. You want to know what it means to be a deeply rooted Christian? Pride, envy, suspicion, covetousness. It's all gone. I've never met anybody that's conquered everything in their life. I said to one brother who believed in perfection, I said to him, you believe you're sinlessly perfect? Yes, I do. I've never said I haven't committed a sin in 20 years. I asked him, well, tell me how you view perfection. And he went on. I said, what about your attitude? He said, well, these people are sinners, not me. He that's without sin, what? Cast the first stone. You've already committed the greatest sin of all, idolatry. My brothers and sisters, we need Jesus Christ. We are unclothed without God's righteousness. I don't care how good you think you are. There's so much good in the best of us, so much bad in the rest of us. It's hard to know which one of us ought to convert the rest of us. We're in a mess. We need Jesus. We need Jesus. What does that old hymnalist say? Give me Jesus. I want a little more Jesus. Please give me a little more Jesus. Listen to verse 3. And not only that, but we glory in our tribulation. Paul, you're out of your mind. Whoever gloried in his tribulation? I'm going to tell you something you don't know. She knows. And I know. I almost didn't make it here. I went off the bank. The ambulance came. My car was like this, 5 feet off the ground with the left wheel in the air and the right wheel in the culvert, 8 feet down. And I'm thinking, this is interesting. What do we do? Well, I jumped out of the car, forgetting that I'm 8 feet down, and that was not good on my leg. Down I went, walked around, the right rear is up in the air. Oh, my. We drove into a culvert, and I looked, you know how fussy I am about myself. I'm covered with dirt. Oh, my, oh, my. You know what I said? I'm not preaching. I look like a mess. What in the world happened? It was one of those moments when the devil said, let's sidetrack this guy. He thinks he knows what he's doing. Let's sidetrack him. Well, the ambulance came and they asked me if I was okay. Yeah, I'm okay. Can we get the car out of this thing? So we had four guys on it and it's so light they picked it up and pushed it back out. And I'm here. Today, an hour ago. Oh, the devil is on your path. From the time you get up in the morning until you go to bed at night, he's wroth with you. But thanks be to God, the victory belongs to him. Okay, now listen to this. It's really good. We glory in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. And by the way, let me say this as a sidebar. I wasn't upset with God because I was in the ditch. I was upset with my idiotic way of driving. Was that a sin? I'm a sinner. Do I commit adultery? No. Do I steal? Not in your life. Well, what problem do you have? Me. Me. I look at myself in the mirror and I have me. You take you with you everywhere you go. Do you like you? There's probably people that don't. Do you like you? Okay, listen to this. I glory in tribulation, knowing that it produces perseverance. Perseverance produces character, and character produces hope. There's hope for the hopeless and hope for the helpless. Now, hope does not disappoint us, because the love of God has been shed abroad, poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who God has given us. You know what I think? The woman who anointed Jesus was broken and poured out. Her love was shed abroad, broken and poured out. And unless you're broken, you'll never be poured out. What am I trying to tell you? Come back to Romans chapter 3. And you need to read all of Romans. You really need to read this. It's a very theological document. And there are comments made here that unless one reads it, you miss it. For instance, there is no condemnation to those who walk according to Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. In that while man was sinful in his nature, God sent his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and he condemned sin in the flesh. What does that mean? When Jesus died on the cross of Calvary, you died. I died when he died. Would you say amen? And when he rose, I rose to newness of life. So there is victory. My life is changed. Okay, Romans 3:21. Won't you catch this? Please, do me a favor. Do not be sitting out there trying to figure where you disagree. I'm just reading scripture. That's all I'm doing. Look at verse 21. But now. Why but now? Because Paul has already denounced the heathen, that they are unrighteous before God. He's denounced the Jews. He said they are unrighteous. In chapter 3, verse 10, he said there's no one righteous. Their mouth is filthy. He says there's none righteous, and out of their mouth, there it is right there, their throat is an open tomb. Verse 13, their tongues have practiced deceit. If I were to ask you this week what you did, you know, I thought I was doing pretty good one day. I looked at all the things. I was into perfectionism. All the things I hadn't done. And then I started to realize that I missed the things I should have done. Not just the sin of omission, the sin of commission. And by the time I was done, I said, thanks be to Jesus. Amen. Thanks be to Jesus. Look at verse 21. But now the righteousness of God, apart from the law, is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. That means the first five books of the Bible and the Old Testament prophets. Even the righteousness of God. Here it is, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. For there is no difference. Now don't miss verse 23. For all, in its present tense in the Greek, are sinning and falling short of the glory of God. Not have, are. And therefore, verse 24, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forth. God gave his Son. Why? Because of our dilemma. Ellen White, I read her statement last night. It was incredible. She said that sinful man does not appreciate how holy Jesus is, or any talk of perfection would flee from their mouth. It would flee from their heart. Did you know that you could not right now stand in the presence of holy God without Jesus Christ? Did you know that? God is a consuming fire to sin, and he could not, his nature would not allow him to look at you. That's why when God sees you, he looks through Jesus. Would you say amen to that? He looks at Jesus and he sees you. And listen to the rest of this verse. By his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed. Now look at verse 26. To demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, God's righteousness, found in Jesus Christ, that he might be just. Just. How's that? He satisfied the demands of the holy law by a holy God dying on a cross of Calvary. And the justifier, the one who justifies him who has faith in Jesus. Now come over to Romans chapter 4 and look at verse 5 and 6. But to him who does not work but believes on him who justifies what? Say it with me. The ungodly. The what? The wicked. His faith is accounted. His faith is what? Sounds like Genesis chapter 15, 3. His faith is accounted for righteousness. Abraham believed God and his faith was credited to him as righteousness. Listen to this. Just as David describes the blessedness of the man to whom God imputes righteousness apart from works. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute sin. Two things God does for us. He gives me grace. Grace is given to me because I don't deserve it. He gives me grace I do not deserve. Would you agree with that? On the other side, we have mercy. God withholds from you what you do deserve. That's mercy. You deserve death, but his mercy holds that back. So we have grace and mercy side by side found in the cross of Calvary. brothers and sisters, the older I grow, the more I need Jesus. I need Jesus. I really do. I ask Christine how I'm doing. Oh, my. Sometimes I think I'm doing great. Not the obvious sins. I'm talking about me. Me. The old man. Judgmental. I'm not judgmental. Condemnatory? No, I don't condemn people. I love people. I don't talk about people. I'm not a gossip. Do I get hurt easy? Yeah, that's one thing about me. I do wear my emotions on my sleeve. I don't get angry. I get hurt. So that's what I have to pray about, because if you're going to be a pastor, you're in the trenches. Somebody's going to say something you're vulnerable with. What I'm telling you is that I need Jesus every hour of every day of my life. One black preacher was talking to a white preacher. The white preacher had asked the question, what do you think the church needs? And the black preacher spoke up and he said, just give us a little more Jesus, if you would. Just a little more Jesus. I want to close with a story. It was Wembley Stadium in London, England. Various musical groups, mostly rock bands, had gathered together in celebration of the changes in South Africa brought on by Nelson Mandela. For some reason, the promoters scheduled an opera singer, Jesse Norman, as the closing act. For 12 hours, groups like Guns N' Roses had blasted the crowd through the banks of speakers, riling up fans already high on booze and dope. And the crowd yelled some more curtain calls, and these rock groups would oblige. Meanwhile, Jesse Norman is in her dressing room with a newsman, Bill Moyers, discussing Amazing Grace. Jesse tells Bill how John Newton, a coarse, cruel slave trader, wrote to him based on his life. Newton borrowed an old tune sung by the slaves themselves, rediscovering this song just as it had been rediscovered. I don't know if you know this, but John Newton admitted that the song itself, not the words, came from a slave ship. Slaves in the bottom of a ship would go, and they rowed. They would hum the tune, and he put words to it, Amazing Grace. Finally, the time comes for the curtain call for Jesse Norman to close the program. Somebody made a mistake to invite an opera singer to a rock program. A single light follows her out on the stage. Norman is a majestic African-American, a woman of tall, slender build, wearing a flowing African deskini as she strolls on the stage. No backup band, no musical instruments, just Jesse and God. Restless, the crowd stirs. A voice yells for more Guns N' Roses. Who's this woman? Take her off the stage. And the scene begins to get ugly. Alone a cappella, Jesse Norman begins to sing very slowly. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. An amazing thing happens in Wembley Stadium that night. 70,000 raucous fans fell silent before her aria of grace. By the time Norman was reaching the second verse, 'tis grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. The soprano had the crowd eating out of her hand. And by the time she reaches the third verse, 'tis grace that brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. Thousands of fans stood to their feet and started crying. Those who moments before had heard Guns and Roses, when they heard about this amazing Jesus Christ, oh, what a Savior, they started to cry by the thousands. They were lost in memories with her words that they had learned long ago. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. Jesse later confessed she had no idea what power had descended on Wembley Stadium that night. But I think I know. When grace descends, there's a silence before it falls. And in your heart you say, oh, I need that sweet Jesus. Oh, I need that sweet Jesus. I pray that God talk to your heart today. My brothers and sisters, Jesus is a wonderful, wonderful Lord. However you see this victory thing is between you and God. I will tell you one thing. There are things I used to do I don't longer do and I don't want to do. And there are things I want to do better for God. I want to be more like Jesus. But I can tell you, without Jesus Christ, life would be hopeless. And it would be helpless. I want to pray for you as you're sitting there in this little canopy from God. You know, that maybe God can walk by your seat and say to you, you know, you think you're all right. You think you've got things handled. You haven't let me show you your life in true technicolor. You've got more faults than you realize. Let's pray. Oh, our sweet, sweet Jesus. Lord, I can't hardly keep from crying when I think about how great you are. You're such a wonderful, wonderful Lord. Forgive me for my sins. Forgive us all for the times that we've taken the credit for any good thing you have done in our lives, when it all belongs to you. Any victory that we have achieved is the victory we have received. We thank you for loving us. Oh, dear God, in the crowd of this world with the music playing loud, I wonder deep in my heart if there could be a way that you could use our voice like Jesse Norman and stop the crowd dead as they think once again of that old amazing grace. Use us this week, we pray, and bless us for being here. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for being here.